tonight. Or on your phone. Right? Somewhere. You know, the Bible isn't something for us to worship, but it's a guide to understand God. And, you know, tonight I want to talk about faith in God. And, you know, our whole Christian walk, and sometimes for myself, I feel like I'm peeling back the onion of crazy stuff that's been taught. Because, you know, too many times we think that faith, you know, as Christians, because Jesus said have faith, but, you know, what is faith? Faith is a belief in a person. It's a belief in a person, right? And it's a connection with Him. When we don't read the Word to try to, well, better ourselves. I mean, we become better when we read the Bible, but really the whole point is we are to connect with Him, to understand Him. Let's look at Mark chapter 11. We'll start there. So everything that we do is a, how can I say, a connection. It's to understand Him better. We don't get healing, we understand Him. I want to encourage you, because I'm here to stretch you a little bit. Well, a lot, really. when did Jesus ever pray for healing? But what did He do? He went to the Father. Right? Of course Jesus believed in healing, because we see there in Matthew that He went about healing, healed everybody in the crowd, didn't He? I mean, He went and boom, everybody was healed. So healing was never an issue with Jesus, but He knew how to tap into the source, which was God. And we don't tap into God to receive healing. We tap into God because we love God. Amen. Right?
Yeah.
And I think too many times many Christians are trying to get something. Well, I must not have faith because I didn't get healed. Well, are you going to heal yourself? I didn't get that memo. No. Jesus went about, in Acts 10:38, it says He went about doing good, healing, anointed the Holy Ghost. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost, went about doing good, healing all the oppressed of the devil. You and I aren't going to heal anybody. Jesus is the healer, right? So we need to connect with a person, not try to get something to happen. That's just the same fact of going to somebody and saying, well, you know, I really want you to pay my bills, and then you know, they want anything to do with you. It's all a relationship. A covenant is a relationship. We're going to find more tonight, but Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Now, if you've been around here at all, you've heard me probably talk about this about 1,000 times, but I want to read it out of the Living Bible, and it says, verse 22, now this is, I want to paint the scenario now, what's going on. Jesus overthrew the tables in the temple. He came around. Right before that, He had cursed the fig tree because it wasn't producing anything, right? And He says, you'll never produce any fruit here again. You're going to die. Well, what did the disciples do? Looked at it. Well, nothing happened, Jesus. But they came back the next day, didn't they? And this is where Jesus is getting into this teaching, because here's the thing. When Jesus said it, He expected it to be done. And we're going to look at more scriptures on that. But Jesus never doubted Himself. Why? Because He never doubted the Father. Can we get something straight here really quick? Jesus didn't perform miracles because Jesus was Jesus. Jesus performed miracles because He trusted in the Father and was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 4, right? Well, Jesus did things just because He's Jesus. Wrong. He didn't do that. Because we never see Him doing any miracles until He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Him. And at that point, we see all three parts of the Trinity together, right? We see the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus, the Son, and we hear a voice from heaven, which is the Father. This is My Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye what? Him, right? So we see at this time that, are you guys with me? I'm not boring you yet, am I? Okay, I want to make sure you're still awake. Everybody got a pulse? So that's where we're at. So in Mark chapter 11, He goes back and He sees the fig tree is cursed, and He knows that the disciples are thinking, they're going, whoa, that thing's dead. And He comes here, and this is what we want to hang on to. And He says, in reply, Jesus said to His disciples, and this is the Living Bible, if you only have faith in God, this is the absolute truth. Now stop there a minute. Jesus never went around and said, I've got all of these healings. I got all these bells and whistles. Look at me. I got all of these, you know, tricks I'm going to do. Everything Jesus talked about was the Father. It was about a relationship with Him because He knew the Father was the source. And the Holy Spirit was leading and guiding Him and empowering Him and fell upon Him. After John the Baptist, His cousin, baptized Him in Jordan, He came out of the water, the Holy Spirit came upon Him, He was empowered to do the work of the ministry. Just like Acts chapter 2 tells us. That we are, Acts chapter 1 verse 8 and then also 2 verse 4. Because the Holy Spirit has come upon Him to do the work of the ministry. Everything, Jesus was a direct, our example moving forward. The Apostle Paul says, follow me, what? As I follow Christ. Christ is the cornerstone he talks about, and Christ is the example. What is Christ's example? Following the Father. Just falling in love with the Father. Everything was about the Father. In fact, religious folks wanted to kill Him because He said that God was His Father. Well, which is true, right? Because we see in the Old Testament, what do we see? Adam was a son of God. Hello? And what are we? We're all great, 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 great. How many of our great grandkids of Adam and Eve, right? They're the first. So of course we are sons and daughters of God. Now we're not the begotten son of Jesus, but we are sons and daughters of the living high. That's why the devil hates us so much, because we're made in God's image. He hates anything that's made in God's image. So we see here in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says, if you only have faith in God, not in your ability to have faith, right? Because some people pride their, I can quote all the scriptures and I can do all these things. Well, now you're coming back and you're placing yourself in the driver's seat where God belongs. He says, this is the absolute truth. You can say to this mountain, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean, and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. What's he talking about, having no doubt? See, we get off on, I think we just get so much confusion and so much religious brainwashing that we still have a lot of the slave mentality, a lot of the works in a religion involved, but we think that if we're going to say something enough, do you know how many times I've read the scripture? I can't count it. In the King James, Brother Hagin would quote this all the time, and I thought, man, if I read it as many times as Kenneth Hagin, I'll have it down. No, it's not about quoting it. It's not about memorizing. It's not about it. It's about having. What is the criteria here? Having faith in a person. Right? Because if it's not about God, then why are we sitting here today? See, and then we just go back to self-help, right? Because then if I say it enough, and I am like the Maharishis, and I can just, you know, get into a Zen zone, and I can get myself into a state, we're not working ourselves up into a state. We are with a person, which is God, who is absolutely crazy in love with us. And I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But that's the first criteria, isn't it? Have faith in a person, because you can't heal yourself, you can't deliver yourself, you can't do anything without God. You can't get up and blow your nose in the morning. Right, exactly. Amen. Preach it, little buddy. But we can't do anything with Him, right? So we've got to get to the realization. And Jesus said, I don't do anything or say anything apart from God, the Father. He tells me what to do, and that's what I do. Why? Because Jesus was so in love with the Father. And what were the results? The Father God was manifest through Jesus. So again, the first step is to have faith in God. Again, not your ability to quote. Many people will say things like, well, I just don't know why I have enough faith. Oh, so you're going to do it. So it's all up to you now. Right? I'm trying to kick this addiction. Oh, you're trying to kick the addiction, right? When are you going to stop and just say, I just need your help, God. You got to deliver me from this. We're trying to work things out rather than running to Him and say, God, help me with this. I trust You. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Oh, man, I'm so excited. You know, we should pick this thing up and just be excited. I mean, I'm telling you what, every time I read Genesis, I'm just like, oh, boy, where was I at? I just feel like an idiot in the rain, you know? Like, you know, the Holy Spirit's just got to tell me, you need to come in out of the rain, right? I was in a meeting recently, And these people were leading, they're leading this organization. They went on, now I'm not part of our group, but they went on probably half the night talking about how spiritual they were and how they were just so great to lead this. And I'm thinking, if you got to tell people that you're spiritual and that you're an up leader, you're not, right? And of course, their idea of spirituality and my idea of spirituality are way, I mean, we're not even in the, but I'm thinking, you know, I just love Kenneth Hagin because he just, again, the more you learn on anything, the more you find out you don't know it. That's when you start getting an understanding of anything is when you find out that there's a depth that it's just, oh my. And that's where I'm at. I feel, you know, whenever time I pick up the Bible, I'm like, God, I'm stupid. You got to help me here. Right? I quote scripture, but man, I need more revelation. We need revelation on him. Right? I don't need to just know stuff to know stuff. There are some people who are, you know, that I'll tell you what, I grew up and some of the generation, my grandparents and some of our grandparents, there was some wisdom there that I wish some of us had today, right? I mean, you know, our grandparents, they could grow, you know, a garden and everything, and me, I can't even hardly, you know, boil an egg, and I'm like, Adrian, help! You know, it's really bad. But it's revelation that we need. We don't need knowledge. You can get on the internet and find a bunch of junk, a bunch of stuff, that'll just get you confused. I mean, you watch video after video after video, and you're anything spiritual, and you're thinking, I'm more confused than anything else. But you need the Holy Spirit to help you with things. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm sure most of us have already read this. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now stop there. So God is going to work here. Now I want you to see something here. Verse 3, "And God said, let there be light." And what? There was light. Interestingly enough, God doesn't have a problem with confidence in himself. You ever notice that? There is, God does not have any security problems in heaven. You know what? When God says something, guess what? It happens. But what's our problem? We're concerned about, does God hear us? Does God care? I don't think it's really if God's able to do it, but is he willing to do it? Mm-hmm. That's what I find with most people that I talk to, is whether he's willing to do it. Let's go on to verse 4. "And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness," right? And then verse 6, then he starts dividing the water. And then he creates dry land. Why? Because God says when he says something, it's done. In his mind, it's done. Because he has the ability, now I don't have the ability to speak and water be created, right? I mean, I'm working on it, but it's just not happening, right? It's not in the cards, okay? But I don't know, some people probably think that they, if they want to identify as water, maybe they can. I don't know, you know, right? Maybe you're identify as water. I'm going to go stand in my garage tonight and identify as a Ferrari. Maybe I'll turn into a Ferrari. But anyway, you know, but when God says something, he considers it done. Genesis chapter 3, let's look at a few scriptures here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Now, this is after Adam and Eve fell, and they fell into sin. They were deceived by the serpent. And so we're seeing here, God is beginning to declare some things, right? What happened? Now, some people, and I watched this religious setting years ago with all these scholars, and it's like they didn't have common sense to come in out of the rain. It was embarrassing. You ever get that time where you just get embarrassed for people? You know, you watch them and stuff, and you're just like, I'm embarrassed for you. You know, I know you're all thinking, we're embarrassed for you, Pastor. So, kidding. But you just watch those people, and you're thinking, this hurts my eyes just watching it, you know. And so they at the end of the conversation, all these people from different, you know, religion, they come to the conclusion that God was an abusive father. Okay, well, God didn't do anything wrong in this picture, right? He didn't do anything wrong. But what he's declaring here is Adam and Eve made a decision, so he's just saying what the results were, okay? He already said what was going to happen if they ate from that tree, right? That they're going to die and all these things are going to happen. Now he's saying, okay, as a result of your decision, this is what's coming next. Well, verse 15 says, this is God declaring things, says, I will put enmity or hostility between you and the woman, and here we go, and between your seed and what? Her seed. Who is her seed? Jesus is coming. Yeah. Right? So, in God's mind, in this statement, he is sitting here saying, then he goes on, it shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Right? So what he's saying is Jesus is coming, you're going to bruise him, but he's going to knock your lights out. He's going to knock you into next week. My son is going to come. Now, he didn't say that in all those words, but what he's saying, God is prophesying and saying, my son's coming and he's going to take care of you once and for all. He's going to come into your living room and he's going to knock your teeth down your throat, serpent. He's going to take care of you. He's going to knock your lights out. Well, little side journey here. What's the devil do? He is going looking for the seed throughout history, right? He's trying to kill off that seed when Moses shows up, right? Throwing all the firstborn under two. We don't see those things, but the devil is trying to kill off the seed that was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3 throughout history. And then, of course, when Jesus shows up, his parents take him to Egypt at the time. But what happens? Herod kills off all the males firstborn 2 years and older. See, the devil's trying to kill off that Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 prophecy throughout history, right? He sends in the fallen angels in Genesis chapter 6 to pollute our DNA with giants we see in the Old Testament. So if he can't kill off the seed, he's going to try to pervert humanity's DNA before Christ comes. It'll be perverted, and then this won't be. No, and God's like, you can do whatever you want to, but it's going to happen, right? Yeah. See, the devil comes along and tries to throw curveballs in your life, and we'll see in Scripture that God still has your back, and no matter what has happened in your life, you'll still come out on top. You can't if you walk with God. And again, it all comes back to Mark 11, 22, and it says, if you would have faith in God, have faith in him. See, we get in the flesh and we're trying to work everything on our own, and then we get in a big mess. How many have gotten a big mess? I have before, right? We all have. Gotten a big mess. You look back and you know, if I would have gone to God in the first place, I probably wouldn't have gotten in these problems. So here we go, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. God is sitting there saying, I'm going to send my seed. And you know what? At that point, when God said it, he already had this planned out from the beginning. That's why he made God in his image, made man in his image, because then if we fell, he could come back and redeem us. We see in the word that he already had this planned out, everything was worked out, but his word, when he spoke it, it was done. It was done. There was no question. Why? Because the power of his word, because he knew it was going to happen. It's not because of just his word, but it's because of the character and the person behind it speaking. That's deep in itself. I'm just telling you right now. That is something that is just, it goes beyond, it's explosive understanding of knowing that, see, we think that it's, that these are just words on a page, but you got to understand there are supernatural dimension behind this stuff. There's a realm that when we speak the word, it comes out. Oh man, if I could go there, I can't go there right now. Anyway, Jeremiah 29:11. We are multidimensional beings. 2 Thessalonians 5, right, 23. We're a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. We are, the reason why many people don't have faith is because they're looking at their surroundings and our environment, rather than we are connected in the spirit realm if we're born again with him, with the Father. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I'm going to read it out of the King James, and I'm going to read it out of the Living Bible. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Here we go. Thoughts of, I can't wait to whack them. Right? I can't wait to make them busted, disgusted, and no. What's it say here? It says, I know the thoughts that I think towards them, says the Lord, thoughts of what? Peace. And not of evil. So God's not out trying to kill you, is he? He's not putting sickness on you to teach you a lesson. Now that would be abuse, and you and I would go to jail. But somehow people who think that still have this weird, sick, twisted thinking that, oh, I worship God, but he's putting sickness on me and abusing me, but I'm still going to go to church and love him. Are you? And then the world looks at us, and I'm like, yeah, I would think you're nuts too, right? I mean, to me, that's a mental illness. Who would go back to someone that abuses you all the time? That's called a codependent, and that's people who have emotional and mental problems. No, we're not that way, because God is not that way. So again, let's read that. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. Here's the Living Bible and translation, and it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good and not evil. Here we go, to give you a future and a hope. Man, that's good. See, here's the thing too. People will take things out of context all the time. Now again, he's talking to the Hebrews here, but it still applies to us, right? Because we see in Galatians, the third chapter, everything that came on Abraham belongs to us. So everything that was spoken over the Hebrews in the Old Testament belongs to me as a born-again Christian, and it belongs to you. Right? We just pass things through the blood. You know what? If healing was great when Moses raised up the staff and those people were healed and God had mercy on the Hebrews, I pass it through the blood and it still applies today, right? Yeah. Well, I'm slaughtering animals in the Old Testament. I pass it through the blood. No, we don't need a sacrifice today. Why? Because Jesus was the sacrifice. So I don't need to slaughter Fluffy, right? That doesn't apply today, right? Yeah. So we need to run things through the blood and say, that scripture. Am I just getting way out there for some of you or what? I look at you like. But we see there that all of the covenant that Father Abraham had because of Jesus, because Jesus was Jew. See, those covenants belong to Jesus because he's Hebrew, he's a Jew. He was in the Abrahamic covenant. So what that means is when Jesus walked the earth, it was not the New Testament while Jesus was walking the earth. Jesus walked the earth under the old covenant. He lived under the Mosaic law. He had the old Abrahamic covenant, and it was not the New Testament until he died, blood was shed, and that blood was sent to the mercy seat in heaven. Right? The Ark of the Covenant was a typology of that covenant. Why? Because the priest would take the blood, they rub it on the horns, and they take that basin and they pour that blood of that sacrifice there out for the Ark of the Covenant. Why? Because he was getting ready. It was a typology for Christ that when Christ died, he rose from the dead. He presented that blood to the mercy seat, which is the mercy seat in heaven, which was where the Father was at. That representation in heaven was symbolized there at the Ark of the Covenant. You ever see Raiders Lost Ark? Anybody? Right? I love that. Right? Anyway, I like watching the Ark, and they're, you know, Indiana Jones and his sidekick. They're pulling that thing off, and all of a sudden that gold comes up. Like, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, I like it. So cool. I like that stuff. So. I'm a nerd. I'm always like, you know, reading about Ark of the Covenant and where's that at? And they think it's in Ethiopia and this place and that place. I geek out on that stuff, you know? So anyway, I digress. But the point is we ran it through the blood. We don't have to sacrifice animals anymore. And because of Christ, again, those things that Christ operated in the old covenant because of the blood and the sacrifice, he has now pulled it over to us as Gentiles. I'm not Jew. I'm not Hebrew, right? I'm a dirty Gentile, but I'm cleansed because of Christ, his blood, right? So the cool thing is all those things in the Old Testament now belong to me. So when you read the Old Testament, you can't just go, oh, this is kind of rough and, you know, a little rough around the edges sometimes and all this other stuff. But you know what? All those things that were formulated, and what it does, it builds us up to Christ, to the time of Christ. This Bible is all about Jesus, guys. It's all about Jesus. Well, let's just condense it. It is just, this is a Jesus book, yeah. Right? It is, man fell off the bandwagon. Jesus came back, redeemed us from everything, and he's going to restore us back to even better than where we were before. Why is it better? Because we know we had it bad then, and we thank God that we're going to have a good now. Amen. and moving forward. That's good preaching, Pastor Brent. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your... So again, if God has pre-planned good things for us, then he's already got everything laid out. I've talked about this before. Do you know there's just so much oil in the earth, and they're discovering so much oil? And see, our mind, when we read the word and we see that God will supply all of our needs according to riches and glory through Christ Jesus, God's outlook is abundance. Right? See, we have a cup. If we have a cup here and I have a cup and you've got water or something, God doesn't just go, oh, okay, it's filled up. No, he keeps pouring. He's going, okay, God, it's running over. Okay, it's running over the floor. Lack doesn't even think in his mind. But we're pre-programmed by this world's fallen system that everything's lack. Right? Right? I've talked about it before. You know, I mean, you look at things, and I'm just telling you, we've only we've only used 1% of the world's resources. But you're told, see, we got to get away from the programming of the stupid world system, right? Because I don't live under the world system. I don't live under the world system. I don't believe the news, right? Because it's demonic, satanic. It is propaganda. I remember Smith Wigglesworth said that, Lester Sumrall came to his house in England. Smith Wigglesworth was a minister. He's a British minister and saw 20-some people raised from dead and everything else too. And one of the Lester Sumrall, which was a minister in America, was over there during World War II. And he came over the newspaper and said, I don't want that satanic stuff in my house, right? I mean, who are we going to believe? And, you know, I'm not somebody that is just ignore everything that goes on in the world. But what I do is I need to research things for myself. Because I don't have to take everybody's word for it, right? You know? And then all the fact checkers. What? Fact checkers. Oh, that's another word for shut up and just believe what I'm telling you, right? Okay. See, what I'm saying is it's I live by the word, and the word says that Christ is my healer. I don't have to shut everything down because of COVID, right? If I really believe Jesus. So again, we know by Jeremiah 29:11. How are we doing on time? I got 2 or 3 more hours left. That's okay. I'm kidding. So these people are going, oh my gosh, you hear it? I thought it was going to be. We're going to do the kids. We got some snack bars back. I'm kidding. No, more sugar. We'll get more sugar for you guys. Yeah, we got Mountain Dew back there for the kids too. Never come back to that place again. Jeez, that place is crazy. That guy's nuts. Anyway, the other night, Adrian and I were talking about Jolt Cola. Anybody remember Jolt Cola?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't drink the stuff. I wasn't that brave. Okay. But I'm just telling you what, unless you're in like wartime, like a war zone or something like that, or, you know, going on a marathon, that stuff's scary. So anyway, I digress. But so anyway, Ephesians 1:2, we'll kind of wrap things up here. Oh, I want to keep going, but we can't. So Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. Anybody get anything else? Am I boring you or not? Are you okay? All right, anybody fall asleep? You know? You know, I don't want to be on an advertisement for, if you got sleeping disorders, come on over to, you like that. I've had people sleep before, so that's okay. You know what, if you need a good nap, you're welcome, all right? Just however I can help. The Lord gives you rest, there we go. Gives his beloved sweet sleep, just not during my sermons. Amen. Hallelujah. Says verse, let's start with verse 3. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, here we go, with all spiritual blessings in what? Heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. You know what? God had you planned out before the foundations of the world. Do you think that, you know, he's not the kind of person that just is a fly by the seat of the pants. You ever notice that? I don't know if you figure that out, if you read the word or not. But, you know, he hides golden coins in fish's mouth, right? Axe heads float. I mean, he's got a plan. I mean, we've been watching The Chosen and watching that show. We're just kind of getting into it. And the first couple, I was like, oh, okay, whatever. And then, I don't want to give spoiler alert, all right, but there's one scene with Simon and Jesus, and he comes off the boat and they're fishing and at the end of it. And I was like, that's awesome. And just looking at it thinking, that's awesome. That's just so Jesus, you know, just to show up and rescue people at the right time. And he's not just the answer, but he's just perfectly in time, just right there. Yeah, I mean, all you can say is wow. Backwards, wow. Upside down, mom. You know, upside down, backwards, mom, right? You laughed too, didn't you? I saw you laugh. There was like, you know, my dad jokes and stuff. Anyway. So God has, according, verse 4, according he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world. Now I'm going to say this. It's not predestination that God is picking, and because I got scriptures for that, we probably won't go there tonight. But God is not picking people and say, I choose you to go to heaven, and you're going to go to hell, and you're going to go to heaven. But what this means is God is predestined you to do things. Verse 5, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself according to his good pleasure of his what? Will. That means he's got a plan for your life. He's predestined you to do things. Right? So if he's predestined you to do things, that means he's got a plan and he's provision. Wherever God guides, he provides. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, God doesn't build junk. The devil wants to lie to you and tell you that you're not worth it. You can't do it. I'm telling you what, you can do it. Amen? Whatever he's called you to do. I mean, you got Moses who was stuttered and, you know, pretty much just tried to overthrow the Egyptian, deliver the Hebrews out of his own flesh, right? He's killed somebody and then he's like, oh, I messed up. Then he buried him in the sand. And then Moses has come along. He talks like Porky Pig. I can't talk like it. He's like, you got to get Aaron. He's my brother. And what did God say? Okay, he'll help you be the spokesman. But you know, God didn't dismiss him from the assignment because he thought he was disqualified, right? He's like, you're going to do it. I got a plan for you, and you're going to do great things. And I'm still going to work with your inabilities, and I'm still going to work with your insecurities, and I'm still going to work through some things that, you know what, you're not a great speaker. You know what, you kind of screwed things up. Yeah, you've got a history here, but guess what? He still used him, right? And guess what? He had a plan. It wasn't the plan that he thought, because I think Moses thought, I'm going to get there, I'm going to kill this guy, I'm going to turn everything around. He's like, oops, I kind of messed up. Messed some things up here. God had to take him to the backside of a mountain. Why? Because he had to put some things in Moses to bring him full circle back to do what he needed to do, right? God needed to put some things into Moses to get him where he needed to be. So it says again, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Here we go. Which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, it's not about us predestined going to heaven or hell. It's about God predestining us. And what it is on our end is just trusting. See, it's not about us getting enough faith to God to do something. You know what this is? You know what faith is? Faith is just us getting confident to just hook up with God, what God's got. That's it. That's it. The plan's there. All we're doing in faith is just hooking our caboose up to his engine and letting us pull us through. I'm not trying to get God to do anything, right? Oh, God, help, heal me. He's like, just hook up to me. Come on, just relax. Just connect with me. Oh, man, I want to go here. Also, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, it is God's will that every single person be saved. So we know that predestination does not exist. The only predestination in the Bible is that God has predestined you to do things. He's put gifts and callings and things into you to do. But what? It's a having faith in him that he's going to help develop you and bring you through these things. And he's going to come to pass. Though the Bible says, though it's tarry, the vision will come to pass, won't it? John 3:16, I think most of us know this. It says, for God so loved the world. He loved the world, not just the predestined, right? Not just those he has handpicked to go to heaven. Jesus died for the entire world. He's provided for everybody. And it says that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. See, we don't have just everlasting life for the chosen. No, he's provided it for the world, hasn't he? Oh, man, I want to go here so bad. Let's go. Psalm 16:11, I'm going to read this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is what? Fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Right? It doesn't say you working up yourself, memorizing. Now, we need to get into the Word and understand the Word. That's important. But what is it? It's in him. He's the one that brings us joy. He's the one that brings us pleasure forevermore. Guess what? How many people got healed when Jesus' ministry, he healed them, and they went off and continued to do the same thing they did before? Right? Lots. Because Jesus went and healed the multitude. He just healed people. He just healed the entire crowd. Well, you know, though, some of those people just went off their own way and just like, I got healed. Yeah, okay. And they lived the same way they did before, right? So, healing is a great testimony. And God can wake things up. And like Brother Hagin said, Kenneth Hagin says, healing is a dinner bell. It can wake people up. But him, his presence is going to change us. This isn't just something you just want to run around the church on. Aren't you just excited tonight? I'm excited. Psalms 23:6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Here we go. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why? Because I dwell with him and goodness and mercy will follow me, right? You know what? I can get healed and still be depressed. I can. You know, how many of you watched people where they win the lottery and then a year later they're bankrupt? The capacity's gone. They don't have capacity. God puts capacity in us. I remember there's just some of those people, sometimes you just, you know, you're around those people and they just, you just feel better when you're around. God is like that times a billion when you're around him. When you connect with him, the disciples are such a powerful experience because when Jesus showed up and they began to walk in his step, we're talking about, these guys weren't polished, okay, that followed Jesus, but they went after because they had been with Jesus. In the book of Acts, they began to turn the world upside down because they had a connection with him. A connection with him. Oh, man, I want to read this. Let's read this real quick. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 16. We'll end here. John chapter 15, verse 9. I'm going to start reading. You can follow along. It says, here we go. Jesus is now talking to his disciples. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you and continue ye in my love. You notice how Jesus is always referring to the love of the Father? Mm-hmm. Isn't that great? He's always referring, not, oh, all these wonderful gifts, all these wonderful things. And now there are those things, and he does talk about it, but Jesus is always just so, he is so enamored and so just obsessed with the Father's love. In verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Here we go. And abide in his love. Oh, he's talking about the Father's love. Oh, he's talking about how great he is. Verse 11, these things I have spoken unto you. Here we go. That your joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Where does the joy come in? Where does the joy be full? Because of the Father's love. See, it all comes back to the Father. It's all about connection with him. Here we go. Verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another. As, here we go, as I have loved you. Again, he's always talking about his love for us. Greater love has no man, he's building up here. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Here we go. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I've not called you servants, for the servant knows not what the Lord does, but I have called you friends. Now, why is this important? Because Jesus, now we just glaze over this. We don't think about it sometimes. But Jesus, his previous statement before says, friends lay down their lives for one another. And what's he saying? You are my friend. He's saying, I love you so much, I'm laying my life down for you. See, that's the commitment that we see in the Word and a character from a God that we worship, because he's sitting there saying, you know what? I don't call you servants. I call you friends. What's friend? Friend is someone that is just so intimate with. You share your secrets with. You have a companionship with. And Jesus later, he said, hey, friends lay their lives down. And he goes, hey, by the way, you're my friend. And he's saying, hey, by the way, I'm going to lay it all down for you. I'm laying my life down for you. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, I don't see Muhammad laying his life down for anybody. I don't see Buddha laying his life down for anybody, right? Right. Yeah. I don't see any of the world leaders laying their lives down for anybody. And we see there in the Last Supper, and the Apostle Paul talks about in Corinthians when he quotes scripture, but he says, hey, remember me in my death. Jesus' whole life, he says, my whole focus is dying for you. Now, not one person in history has ever said that before. Like, my life is to die because you're my friend and I love you so much. Now, that statement in itself is just, you gotta think on that. You know what I'm saying? You got to really meditate on that and think about, wait a minute here, this Jesus is nobody like anybody in human history, ever. And then there will be anybody like Jesus. I'm going to leave you hanging there. How's that sound? Hallelujah. But our faith isn't, it's all about the connection with the Father. It's hard to explain. I can say it in tongues, but it's impossible, right? I don't know. I don't know how to say it. It's just when you're connected with the Father, it's just something that happens to you, just changes you. There's just joy. Amen? Father, we thank you tonight, Jesus, for your presence, Lord. You are a friend, Lord. You lay your life down for us. Lord, we lay our life to you tonight. You know, we all just want to end here. You know, we prayed for people in prayer. You know, tonight, if you don't know Jesus, never made him your Lord of your life, you've never made him your friend, tonight we want to pray for you, right? Don't leave here without him. Kind of like American Express, don't leave home without it. Or would you say, don't leave here without Jesus, right? If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, you need to do it. I'm telling you. Jesus commanded us to do it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Amen? We want to pray with you afterwards. I know we've gone a little later tonight, but Father, my prayer tonight is that we have a revelation of you, Lord. We're not trying to get wealth. We're trying to get close to you. We're not trying to seek for healing, even though, but we just connect with you, Lord. You're our source. You're our life. You're the joy. You're the peace in our life, Lord. Everything comes from. everything comes from. It's you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Be blessed. We love you.